It is a Monday, and we do something here called the best 5 minutes of the day. Maybe we'll retitle it at some point. I don't know. It's kind of funny, but I was thinking, good morning, Jason Kanz.
Good morning.
I was thinking that what this is it's just an ongoing conversation, and so we welcome in those from Jerome and Knapp. Good morning, Jerome, and our friend in Minneapolis and others who are listening on wib.com around the world. They could be listening in Africa to us today, but it's just, this is, don't you view it that way? It's just an ongoing conversation. We just pick things up.
Absolutely. It's, you and I are often thinking along the same lines and sometimes different lines, and this gives us a chance almost daily to talk through what's stirring in our world.
So I read a post from you on Facebook, and a lot of times I was thinking it could just be like, hey, what have you posted and I posted in the last 24 hours? Let's share it and talk about it. So you shared, I read it yesterday morning, a wonderful post. I'd like you to even read it, and maybe we could go on from there, celebrating your 23rd anniversary to your wonderful wife, Heather.
Yeah, sure. Let me pull it up here quick. So yesterday was our 23rd anniversary, which is amazing and great. So what I wrote was, today is our 23rd anniversary. It's been half her life. As I was journaling this morning, I was struck by how many trials we've endured together, mostly since 2009. Although 2020 has been a difficult year so far, I don't think it will even make the top five. Heather, I'm so grateful for being able to continue walking side by side with you, for better or worse. I love you always. It's through plentiful seasons and lean seasons, I'm so grateful for the gift of marriage. That whole thought of we've been together roughly half of our lives. She's 46, so 23 is half of hers, and it's a gift. Honestly, I'm really pleased to be still married to her. Didn't come from a great background in terms of marital success. My parents were divorced when I was 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just a lot of gratitude. Wouldn't be here without God, I don't think.
How old were you when you got married?
I was, 25.
Okay.
We got married.
All right.
Yep.
So not quite half of your life, but half of hers.
Right.
And yeah,
yep.
We're approaching that too. In our marriage, I think my wife was 23, I think, when we got married. And so, but we're coming up on anniversary number 22. So trailing you just a bit, but yeah, absolutely. I would echo what you say in that regard. And it's exciting to hear, and you thank God. And boy, talk about the sanctification process. I mean, marriage is probably at the time, I know marriage, parenting, and work are the three ways I know in my life God sanctifies me. How about you?
Yeah, without question. Especially when, I think of my master's degree is, my background is marriage and family therapy. And so you come into this thinking, yeah, I got this all together. And then you, real life meets learning. And all of a sudden it's like, boy, everything I learned just kind of goes right out the window.
Yeah.
But that's absolutely part of our sanctifying process. And I think for me, what has been evident is it hasn't stopped.
Uh-huh.
Even in the last few years, there have been growth areas that Heather has revealed to me and I've revealed to her. And I think that will probably continue until the grave.
Yeah. I'm much more aware of the ones that my wife reveals to me. I'm less aware of whatever I might... I hope God used me. Let me just share what I... Yesterday morning, I was kind of wrestling around with some things, and ultimately, what I posted on Facebook was this. Grieving our broken nation this morning. What happened? How did we get here? Where are we going? God help us. So, just a statement. I thought, and for me, I tried to tune in. I'm like, Lord, I feel like it's okay. I mean, I try to seek, like, Holy Spirit permission to share, and I felt that over that yesterday, and... there was a lot of likes. But then there was this. As I further contemplated, kind of prayed and wrestled with it, I came up with this as well. As I said, as I reflect and pray, I remember how G.K. Chesterton called himself the biggest problem in the world. The Apostle Paul called himself the chief sinner. And Jesus said we should first take the log out of our own eyes. I know where to start. God help me. There was a sense in which, and people might wonder, I think somebody in the long thread, a lot of people commented, it was just like, well, what are you referring to? Did something else happen? I'm like, no, nothing else happened. It was just a Supreme Court decision I disagreed with on Friday night that struck me as anti-religious freedom. Justice Roberts, again, kind of disappointing conservatives, I guess. But the fact was that beyond that, I mean, some of the rioting in the Pacific Northwest, or the way we can't seem to even respectfully dialogue about issues, and just that and a whole lot of other things just sort of led to that particular post. But as I, again, pondered maybe a half hour more, I'm like, you know what? It starts with you, you know?
Yeah, and I think that resonated with a lot of people. But I agree with that second part that you said, and my hope is that we don't jump to the conclusion that it's people out there that are the problem, you know?
Yeah.
And that may very well be, because sin affects us all, but we have to start with, am I loving? How's the fruit of the Spirit manifesting in my life?
Yes.
Am I paying attention to how the Spirit is stirring? I actually made a comment or clicked on an angry face on something yesterday, and I went back 2 minutes later and was like, this is not helpful.
Yeah.
And removed it because it was like, I'm not contributing to love and holiness here.
That's my least favorite emoji, but occasionally something does arise. Thank you, Jason. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Talk to you tomorrow.
All right, very good. All right, WWIB, we reach out to the state of Michigan once a week on Mondays right around this time, and counselor and comedian Drew Fralick is on the line. Sharp dude. And that was your backyard I saw with the backyard comedy show in Michigan. So that was kind of unique.
That's right, yeah. This was our first show since COVID. You know, obviously, people don't exactly want to be in a enclosed basement with no ventilation laughing out loud together. So we did our first show. It was outdoors. You know, you saw some of the pictures, and we were talking about it last week. And it was very interesting, you know, like, it's just been a hard spring, hard summer, just a hard time. And we just, you know, we haven't laughed a lot this spring. There's not a lot to laugh about.
Sure.
We haven't talked about it on the show. Like,
right.
Some weeks we're like, what are we going to, you know, Mark, what are we going to talk about? Like,
right.
People aren't laughing right now.
Right.
So it was like people came in and you know, they haven't laughed in a while, and we haven't done comedy in a while. So we're like warming up, and it was just this beautiful thing where you had people from different communities around Metro Detroit coming together, and everybody's, you know, they got their little lawn chair and they got their mask on, and we're being as safe as we can. But I just felt so full of hope. And just so, like, it was such an emotional boost, you know, to do that. So that was great.
Huh.
And then the other thing that was really interesting, because, you know, we live in Detroit now, as some of your listeners know.
Right.
And it's just kind of a different culture down here. I think a lot of people recognize that. And so we're out there. And we're doing comedy, and, you know Josiah, and he's up on stage, and he's pretty loud, and, you know, he's telling jokes, and people are laughing and stuff. And we had neighbors walking down the street, like, not just one or two, but several neighbors. And they're like, what's going on back there?
Yeah.
And we literally had neighbors coming into our backyard and just, like, sitting down and hanging out, and we got to meet some of our we're the new neighbors, but we got to meet some of them. And it was just this amazing thing where you're using comedy as an outreach to meet your neighbors and make those connections. So that was my favorite part.
Well, wasn't there a verse that talks about go and make them laugh? No, actually, no. But anyhow, still.
Maybe that's the gospel of Mark Halverson. I don't know.
But the thing is, I mean, what's unique, and we talk about counselor, comedian Drew Fralick, and I don't know, I guess pastor and comedian Josiah Jones, because he's had a lot to say. I've noticed where he talked about driving at midnight and a drunk driver coming right for him, and he was able to avert that. Like,
right.
And then also, between the comedy show Saturday night and then Sunday, he said, hey, 10 people came forward to receive Christ today. So things are breaking out there in Michigan.
Josiah is an incredibly talented guy, and you know, I like I said, we haven't been doing comedy since March, and so, you know, I'm watching him do. I really expect big things out of him as a comedian. He only started 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and he's he's just incredibly talented as a comic, and I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, he really did something big in the comedy world. But yeah, he's great. He's just as good as somebody who's been doing it for 10, 15 years.
Well, I know you guys would like to. I told my son that he just turned 19, and I said he's done some acting and certainly interested in comedy. I mean, he's never tried stand-up. It's you know, like Jerry Seinfeld's talked about. I mean, it's a scary thing. You go out on a stage in front of people with a microphone, and it's just you and the mic, and go for it right. In front of a live crowd. I mean, it is. You got
to
step into it.
To get started.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we had a girl actually on the show. Her name's Olivia. She's also from Detroit. And she she's friends with Josiah, and she said, "Can I do a set?" And I go, "Sure, yeah, you can do 5 minutes. You know, how long have you been doing comedy for?" She goes, "Well, I've done a set one time before."
Yeah.
So she was quite brave. You know, she went up there and she did pretty well. But
well, now, let's face it. Let's be honest. You were brave to say yes, too. I mean, it may just be the backyard comedy show, but it's yeah. Your show. It's your backyard. And so you're like, okay.
Well, I told her, too. I said, "Hey, just so you know, this is a PG show. Like, it's a clean
yeah.
show." Because
yeah.
sometimes people, they get up there, they get so nervous, and they say these awful things. Mm-hmm. And you're like, "Oh, my goodness."
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
It turned out well.
Very good.
So we're going to be doing a couple more outdoor shows in August and just having a good time, laughing, bringing different communities together and
one of the ways one of the ways people could see, I mean, someday maybe you guys you've talked about coming to Wisconsin, and so certainly I know we'll be at the
yeah.
top of your list here. And then Josiah can find out Eau Claire is not by Milwaukee. But anyhow, we'd love to see that happen, although I told my son I'd like him to meet you, but like getting to Detroit's not easy. You kind of have to mostly go down past Chicago and then up, but it takes a while.
Yeah.
So, anyhow.
Yeah.
All right, Drew,
yeah,
I appreciate
it. We would love to come to Wisconsin. That would be a dream, but COVID's got to be
yeah.
over, I think, first.
Yeah. Hey, people can follow you on Facebook, right? Drew Fralick?
Yeah, Drew Fralick or drewfralick.com. I release like a weekly blog about
mm-hmm.
church, comedy, different stuff like that.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, deep, thoughtful
Thanks.
Stuff from your unique mind. Thank you, Drew. Appreciate it. WWIB. Well, recapping the weekend here on a Monday, WWIB, the Three Amigos fielding your questions as well. A new segment we started last week at 7:45, Monday Mailbag, Ask Us Anything. Listener line open for your questions, 396-1670 or the WIB Wake Up Show Facebook page. So mine, I'm going to sum up with a monkey theme. Saturday, I posted an article I came across. This was odd. I headlined it, "It may not be Planet of the Apes, but how about a nation being overrun by monkeys?" It's a city in Thailand. Check the article on my personal Facebook page. It's headlined, "These monkeys were once revered, now they are taking over."
Oh, my.
So from that to, we had a bit of a house church experience yesterday and socially distancing. And then Bonnie Curler made homemade monkey bread. Not in honor of the post. It was so good. I mean,
yum.
It was just like... Stay away, Mark. Okay, you've had enough. And then at going out celebrating Dawson's birthday for a lunch yesterday in Altoona at a particular location.
Hey.
And Dawson asked Evelyn, could you, you know, odd requests, could you make a monkey noise? Which she was reluctant to do, but I did do. So there was kind of a monkey theme to my weekend.
Nice.
Sure.
Very good. Well, I had a craft theme to my weekend. I was crafting all weekend and crafted with my daughters, which was very, very lovely to spend one-on-one time with them. Dean and I kind of swapped off, and we each got some one-on-one time, which was very, very nice. It's fun to be able to just be and bond with your kids. And also, I got 46 pages done in my scrapbook.
Wow, that's a lot.
Wow. It is a lot. That's totally a lot. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah,
okay.
So it was super fun.
Well, backtracking for our weekend. So yesterday we decided not to make the trip up to church just because we had one child recovering from a high temp. And so we stayed home and the kids begged for the sprinkler in the afternoon. So we did some sprinkler fun. Going back to Saturday, though, the brainchild of my wife, Lindsay, she thought, let's do a little Christmas in July. So we kept it kind of low key in terms of spending. But we wrapped up some presents for the kids. The kids made presents for one another. And we had, I'm going to mess this up. Root deer floats, I believe
Cute.
They're called. So like a root beer float with a maraschino cherry on it. We had cutout cookies So those were absolutely delicious. We ended up not even frosting them because they were so good on their own.
Were they like Christmas cutouts or what?
Yeah, except we made them into watermelons, or Lindsay made them into watermelon slices. So that was really good. We had some different games, ran a few errands and things like that, but sang a Christmas carol, read the Christmas story. And yeah, the kids really seemed to enjoy it, and I did as well.
Did that cool you off on a hot July day?
We had the ceiling fan on the whole time. So good weekend was had by all in our household.
Nice.
It's that time again. Monday mailbag, ask us anything here on the WIB Wake Up Show. It's 7:45, 66 degrees. Taking your questions.
All right.
All right, coming into the Facebook page, we have Ruth asking if you could go anywhere, do anything, where would you go, and what would you do? I found this really interesting because, for me, that answer has changed a lot just in light of COVID. Because I think, you know, 8 months ago, I'd have been like, I'd really love to go to Europe, specifically Italy. Mm-hmm. That would have been my answer. And now, I would love nothing more than to go see my grandma, who lives in a nursing home in Chicago. We can't really go to Chicago right now. We really can't go to her nursing home. She's, you know, locked down, and she lives on the second floor of the nursing home, so we can't even do a window visit. So that's totally my answer. Like, I would give anything to see my Grammy right now.
I have been to Africa, at least Liberia. China and India come to mind as two of the most populated places on the planet. I have not been. I would be interested.
Nice.
Honestly, I really would like to take my kids to the ocean. Probably the Atlantic Ocean. I have so many good memories. So whether it be the Outer Banks of North Carolina or Cape Cod, Massachusetts, that's where I'd like to go with my family in tow.
Sounds
perfect.
Good. Sounds excellent.
Awesome.
All right. What else do we have
here? Let's go
to
the question. You want to go to the questions from last week? I mean, we did have some kind of saved up.
Let's see. So this came from Hannah, and she says, what is your superpower? And she had some other questions here.
We're going to start with that one. To me, I mean, a couple come to mind. Flying or being invisible? But I guess I would, if I had to choose one, flying's pretty cool. So like Superman, I'd like to be able to fly.
Nice. I don't know. I'd kind of like, is it a superpower if I say like discernment between truth and untruth? I want the superpower
in today's
to like
world. Yeah, that would be
that would be my superpower, is to be able to tell if someone's being 100% truthful or not. That's what I would want.
So a superpower of choice. I mean, flying would
be
pretty
cool.
Maybe invisibility at times as an introvert. I wouldn't mind invisibility at times.
Nice.
Her second question, if you could drink anything in a mug, what would it be?
Coffee.
I'm going to just briefly go back to the other one. Even as I say that, teleporting, because we were in Acts 8 at church yesterday, and my daughter's just like, did he teleport? You know, so it's kind of like teleporting would be even better than flying. Drink anything in a cup?
Mug.
In a mug.
In a mug. Like, I don't know. It was hot fudge day the other day. Ooh. How about hot fudge in a mug? That'd be nice.
Okay. I think of mug root beer.
Nice.
From the Frost Stop in Eau Claire. No, in Eau Claire, in Rice Lake, when I was growing up. Mug root beer would be good.
Nice.
Hot chocolate with marshmallows. Cool. Favorite cereal, she says?
Lucky Charms, Golden Grahams, any of those. Yeah.
I so have not been a cereal guy lately. I guess, Raisin Nut Bran.
Okay. I think I would go Golden Grahams or peanut butter Cap'n Crunch.
Ooh, peanut butter Cap'n Crunch.
And finally, a quick question here. Caramel rolls or cinnamon rolls?
Caramel.
Hannah asks.
After the monkey bread yesterday, that sounds more like caramel rolls. I'd go caramel rolls.
I'd go cinnamon rolls if my wife or my mom makes them.
Yeah.
Nice.
They're both.
Those are the good kinds.
This is a tough choice right there.
All right. Do we have time for any more here?
We can.
Sure.
I was thinking maybe we should cap it off there and just
cap it? Okay.
Pick it up next week.
So. There you go.
Monday mailbag at 715-396-1670. You can even send in your questions early if you think of them right now. 749, 68 degrees, WWIB. We are family.
I'm tired of walking around. Oh, ooby-doo.
Hoop-dee-wee.
I want to be like you.
Hoop-dee-ooby-doo.
I want to walk like you.
Cheep.
Talk like you.
Choo-choo.
You see it's true.
A crazy story I came across over the weekend. Headline, these monkeys were once revered. Now they're taking over in central Thailand, a town I would pronounce as Lopburi. The customers waiting outside a bank there left their jewelry at home and kept other treasures out of sight, but danger lurked anyway. In broad daylight, they watched a thief steal an iced tea and a vandal brazenly attack a motorcycle seat. One woman quit her place in line when a stalker crept up and threatened to bite her. With a sigh, a police officer brandished a slingshot, and the monkeys scattered. Less than a minute later, they were back. Lopburi, a one-time capital of a Siamese kingdom and a repository of ancient architecture, a city under siege. The crab-eating macaws, a Southeast Asian species of monkey with piercing eyes and curious natures, have spilled out of the temples where they were once revered and taken over the heart of this old town.
Oh, wow. No.
Their growing population, at least 8,400 of them in the area, with most concentrated in a few city blocks, has decimated parts of the local Lopbury economy.
Oh, no.
With territorial troops of macaws roaming the neighborhood, dozens of businesses, including a music school, gold shop, barber, cell phone store, and movie theater, have been forced to close in recent years. The pandemic has added to the chaos. The frolicking monkeys drew droves of tourists in the past, as well as Buddhist faithful who believe feeding the animals is a meritorious deed.
Huh.
Their favorite offerings included coconut yogurt, strawberry soda, and brightly colored snack packs. But now the macaws are like, hey, how come nobody's feeding us that anymore?
Oh, no.
Over the years, the monkeys moved into abandoned buildings, trashing display cases and rattling the bars installed to keep them out. Unless security guards are vigilant, they rip antennas and windshield wipers off parked cars.
Oh, yay! My!
They're like teen vandals, right? Dangling earrings, sunglasses, and plastic bags that look like they may have food in them are irresistible to these monkeys.
Huh.
And in the areas of the city most densely packed with animals, many residents live in fear of their next sneak attack.
Oh, my.
Give us our strawberry soda or else.
Yes.
So, wow. And, you know, I mean, people think like the rats in New York and Chicago are bad, but apparently they got nothing on these monkeys, huh?
Nothing on them. Wow. Now, here's one thing that's kind of interesting they tried. They tried stuffed animals, like stuffed animals of like alligators and other animals. And for a couple months that worked.
Oh.
Until the monkeys realized these aren't real. And they proceeded on with their mischief. So here's how they're dealing with it. Local wildlife officials have begun sterilizing the monkeys en masse to control their numbers. More than 300 underwent the surgery last month. 200 more will be sterilized next month.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Clamping down.
Hello, 2020.
Yes. I know.
Let's skip the murder hornets and the strawberry soda guzzling monkeys. That would be just fine.
On top of spaghetti, all covered with cheese, I lost my poor meatball when somebody sneezed.
Well, you think it's just a silly kid's song until it actually happens to you and causes you to fail an exam.
I saw this on the Facebooks because of Zoom University, as so many are calling it. I mean, just all across the country, people are trying to learn virtually, and it's creating issues
challenges
at times.
Yes. Well, a 20-year-old junior at the University of Georgia recently failed an online test because of a meatball. Yeah, that's right. She was taking a test online when a meatball fell out of her sandwich and onto her computer keyboard, logging her out of her exam, leaving her with a failing grade of 39.17.
She's just enjoying a meatball sub, taking her econ final, and,
yeah.
Didn't work so well.
She couldn't bear to fail the class. I can't blame her. I wouldn't want to fail a class either. So she emailed her professor, and this is what she said. I had some technical difficulties and outside distractions during the test today. Something hit my computer and caused it to submit the test when I had less than half of the questions answered. By something, I mean a meatball that had tragically fallen onto my keyboard as I was taking the exam. This said meatball caused some malfunctions with my laptop and caused the test to submit itself. Well, I had yet to comprehend how the sequence of events even occurred. I've provided you with some primary evidence on the event occurring.
And she sent some pictures again. I saw she snapped it and then emailed the screenshots. And then I love this. The professor emailed back, well, this is certainly a new and unusual excuse for a low score. But for that reason, it seems unlikely you've made this up. I've extended your deadline until midnight tonight. So, gave a little grace. And he said, I would recommend you take this retest either before or after dinner.
Yes. Probably not during.
Wow.
Good times. Gotta love the virtuals. Be careful out there, friends.
Very different world that we have been living in for the finish of that 2019-2020 school year.
Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn Radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.